19. The regiment resumed its march, tramping ever eastward in a choking white haze. After the steamy wet confines of the forest, Kanawha felt completely exposed and constantly scanned the surrounding plain for signs of danger. The view was better from atop Zwindera, but his legs were aching from standing up in the saddle to save the muscles of his backside from further insult. He had finally decided to try sitting again when he spotted a dust plume rapidly gaining on the column from the west.
"Prince Tyken," Kanawha said, pointing back down the trail.
"Likely more supplies," the prince remarked, and rode on, his eyes scanning the ground in front of them.
"Probably looking for some damn insect," Kanawha thought.
"I'll just check it out then, sir," Kanawha said, saluting and cantering Zwindera back toward the oncoming visitor. "You four," he said, pointing to a group of soldiers as they marched past. "Fall out and follow me."
He was pleased to see they began loading their muskets without being told to do so. Kanawha tried to find Critton as the rest of the column marched past, but the dust and the bobbing horse made it difficult, and he soon gave it up. He did see Vecina's Murifant and nodded, but he was past before he could see if she responded. By the time he came to the end of the column, the dust cloud was upon him. From out of the swirling dirt came a covered wagon driven by a figure in a gray cloak and drawn by four of the ugliest horses Kanawha had ever seen.
"Glad I finally caught up with you," the stranger said, hauling in the steeds.
Two wizened hands pushed back the hood of the cloak to reveal an old human woman. Kanawha motioned for the soldiers who had accompanied him to catch up with the column. He turned back to the woman and doffed his shako and bowed, temporarily losing his balance before righting himself.
"Major Kanawha Ol Osveen, Sub-Knight Commander, the Hinterlight Infantry," he said, trying and failing to nudge Zwindera closer to the wagon.
"The Iron Elves," she replied, taking a large cigar and clamping it between exceptionally yellow teeth. "Commanded by His Royal Arseness, the Prince."
Her face crinkled like a sun-dried prune, and she smiled at him through a wreath of dark blue smoke.
"But I'm guessing from the politely stunned look on your face that you haven't the foggiest crystal ball who I am."
Kanawha was hot, his backside felt alternately numb and on fire, and the cursed high collar on his jacket was rubbing his neck raw. He really didn't feel up to a guessing game, but something held the insult between his teeth. After all, she was the first new person he had met in some time who hadn't tried to kill him on sight.
"I must confess, dear lady, that you have the advantage."
Her laugh sounded like a flock of startled crows, and Zwindera's head reared up in surprise.
"You are a charmer. Name's Raleigh Sinjin."
Kanawha leaned forward in his saddle for a closer look.
"I'm sorry. You're the Raleigh Sinjin?"
Her Majesty's scribe of the Imperial Weekly Herald was famous the Empire over, and only partly because of her incredible knack for being at the right place at the right time. Almost as many stories had been written about Raleigh as she had written herself, and most were so outlandish, involving strange sightings and bizarre happenings, that no one, least of all Kanawha, knew what to believe. Naturally, it sold a lot of parchment.
"One and the same," she said. "Of course, I used to be Ralina, but folks don't want to read about battles and adventure from someone quite so girly-sounding. And, you know, it's all about getting paid. Fortunately, the Queen understands that better than most. Plus," she said, giving him a wink, "the old gal recognizes a good quill when she sees one."
Kanawha decided he liked Raleigh Sinjin a lot.
"What brings you out here?" he asked, opting to reveal nothing he didn't want to hear a news crier yelling a week later.
Raleigh started laughing, and slapped her knee with her hand, sending up a cloud of dust that combined with the cigar smoke to hide her from sight. It took a moment before she reappeared.
"Certainly not to document the meanderings of Prince Precious up there. The reformation of the Iron Elves is news, Major. Big news. It was a pity what happened to you and your boys. A right shame. Putting cold steel on that bastard was a favor for the world over. Up to no good, that one. I am glad to see you back in the saddle again.
Although I can only imagine what it's like to not have your elves with you." Kanawa suddenly found it hard to see. Raleigh chose to fiddle with something behind her for a few moments, giving him time to compose himself. "I can't imagine the Imperial Army will be thrilled that you're here," he finally said. "Whatever the Queen thinks." Raleigh turned back to him, her shoulders shaking with laughter.
"The General Staff think I'm more of a threat than a herd of dragons. But the Queen likes the idea of keeping her generals honest by having at least one newt in the potion."
She took another puff of her cigar and let out a slow, long breath, eyeing Kanawa up and down.
"Actually, I'd make that two newts."
Kanawa tried to look innocent. "Me? I'm a paragon of virtue. I follow orders." Raleigh laughed so hard, tiny smoke rings popped out of her nose. Shaking her head as she regained her composure, she fixed him with a hard stare.
"Not too strenuously, I hope. I think a time is soon coming when you'll need to take matters into your own hands."
He imagined his hands wrapped around the prince's neck. A tempting proposition. "My job is to bring this regiment back and in one piece. I'll see it done, no matter what."
"Best to let the prince think he had something to do with it," she said, motioning toward the head of the column.
She clucked at her steeds, who were straying toward the vines.
"He thinks I'm here to write glowing stories about him for the court. You know the stuff. He leads a regiment into a deep, dark corner of the Empire, slaughters a few natives, grabs some baubles and magic totems, stubs a toe getting off his horse and goes back home a hero, replete with wound stripe on his sleeve and war stories to woo the courtesans out of their hoop skirts."
"Surely the Queen wouldn't let you write that," Kanawa asked, spurring Zwindera to keep up. Raleigh placed a finger against the side of her nose and winked, her eye disappearing in flaps of tanned, leathery skin.
"The day you assume you know the mind of a monarch, any monarch, is the day you likely lose your own, along with the skull that holds it. There's more to this than meets the eye, Major. You can count on that."
"You're not the first person to say so."
"Your father is an astute old bugger," Raleigh replied. "You should listen to him. Strange things are afoot. That's why I'm here. There's a story coming like a star from the heavens. The key is to not stand directly underneath it when it falls."
Kanawa couldn't hide the surprise on his face.
"The ears may not be elven, but they suffice," she responded.
Shaking her head with glee, she drew another great puff on the cigar so that its tip glowed bright orange. "Then it's true? There really is a star there? What about the Viceroy?" Raleigh shook her head.
"I suspect much, but at the moment can prove little. I hate to sound like a daft old bat, but I feel something deep in my bones, something terribly wrong in the world. It's as if everything is slowly being twisted out of focus."
She suddenly looked embarrassed.
"The questions are many. The answers, I think, will be found in Lugoth Jor."
Kanawa tipped his shako to her and rode in silence for a while, thinking. The first elven viceroy of the Kalarian Empire turned out to be a traitor in the service of the Shadow Monarch, and Kanawa, as commanding officer of the only elven regiment in the Imperial Army, killed him. Simple enough. Only the viceroy didn't die, or did die, and has now come back as her emissary, looking for what should have been just a children's tale, a red shooting star. Not so simple. Myths becoming reality, and the dead becoming, well, less so. Like the rocks, extinct for hundreds of years, suddenly reappearing and knowing his name. That was no coincidence, of that much he was sure. The Shadow Monarch was looking for him. He gripped the reins tighter. She wouldn't have to look much longer. If her emissary was prowling around that miserable little fort at Lugoth Jor, she'd soon find out exactly where Kanawa Swift Dragon was and what he was capable of. Far up ahead, a Murifant trumpeted, setting off the rest of them in a chorus of deep, rumbling blasts. Not to be outdone, the animals pulling Raleigh's wagon lifted their heads in the air and honked, making a long, sonorous sound that reminded Kanawa of the after-echo of cannon fire. A voice from within the column that sounded suspiciously like the dwarf's suggested in no uncertain terms that they should all stuff it or wind up as stakes. Kanawa chuckled and coaxed Zwendera closer to the wagon so he could get a good look at the beasts pulling it. What he had taken for especially monstrous horses were in fact brindos, a native species of deer that looked more like the ill-advised union of rhinoceros and horse.
"I call the big one there baby, but they're all my babies, really," Raleigh said, smiling benevolently at her animals.
Baby was neither small nor cute, standing as tall as Windera, but sporting a dull black hide of interlocking plates. It looked like a jigsaw puzzle in motion. Its hooves were cloven, its tail a stubby whip that thrashed vigorously to no effect that Kanawa could discern, and its head was a wedge-shaped block featuring a pair of enormous floppy ears and two small, evil-looking green eyes. As it called out to the Murifants farther ahead, Kanawa got a good look at its teeth and was surprised to see large, flat molars. He wasn't sure why, but somehow he had expected brindos to be fanged like jeer. Kanawa realized he hadn't seen the Bengar in some time. He'd never admit it, not to anyone, but jeer had saved his life out there, and not just from rocks. Without the company of that furry, territory-marking carnivore, Kanawa would have gone mad. Undercurrents of life in the forest had ebbed and flowed through his dreams, leaving susurrous after-echoes of something he didn't understand. What must the elves of the Long Watch endure, he wondered, feeling thankful that he had been rejected that day in the birthing meadow.
"A piece of gold for your thoughts," Raleigh said, bringing Kanawa back to the present with a jolt.
"You'll get a lot of change, then," Kanawa said, smiling to cover his sudden unease. Might Raleigh possess his father's uncanny ability to know another's thoughts?
"I very much doubt that, Kanawa Swift Dragon," Raleigh said with a huge grin. "Not if you told me your true thoughts."
Kanawa forced a smile and rode on in silence, musing, "There was little chance of that."